Hey, welcome to Adults, the podcast with four drinks to be drunk and four topics to be ignored. So, Jansport, I'm here with Jansport and Herschel. Jansport, what was the first thing that you really wanted? We're doing our theme today is ambition. What was the first thing that you really wanted in life?
Okay, so the first thing I remember wanting, like really, really wanting in life, and here's the backstory. When I grew up, I always thought we were poor as fuck. I had no idea that we had any type of money or we were middle class or whatever. I thought we were poor. Now that I'm grown and my dad is a multimillionaire, I realize it was all fucking sham.
Wait, hold on. Whoa, we're bearing the lead here.
But
your dad is what?
I mean, he's got some money. But
can he help me out? Can I like a loan?
No, because I fucking thought I was poor growing up. So fuck you. Because the first thing that I remember I ever wanted, it cost, I don't know, I think it cost $150. It was a fucking...
No, those things were like $400.
Was it that much?
$200,
$300. $200, $300.
And like $1980, like two.
Okay, all right, whatever. Regardless, it wasn't outrageous. It was a lot, but it wasn't outrageous.
Yeah.
It's first child, you would definitely buy it for. Or your friends, if you're throwing a baby birthday party, they pull in and buy it for the kid, right?
Yes.
Power Wheels. I wanted to sit in one of those fucking Power Wheels, drive around my front yard, cruise, pick up some 3-year-old, 4-year-old bitches, have a pop in, drive them back to my room, play some Legos.
Okay. But, all right, so you obviously weren't the first child, given that you said you would definitely buy for your first child?
I want to dig into this deeper because it's like, I had kind of the same experience where, like, we definitely weren't poor. Like, we were, like, either upper class or, like, upper middle class. And yet, I got knockoff Voltron figures from, like, the random Indian store
right?
in Cerritos.
Yeah, right? Like, we would go out to eat, and it'd be McDonald's, and it'd be like, oh, this is the nicest restaurant in the world, because we never went anywhere nicer.
Or if you ordered a soda, you would get death stares.
Or you order a soda, and you have to refill it 5 times. Otherwise, it's not worth it.
And everyone has to drink from it. Everyone drinks.
One extra large soda for the table.
Steve, have you ever been to a McDonald's and like you bring your own homemade food to it and eat it inside?
Wait,
you order one drink to share between 7 people?
Yeah. Why would you go?
Because you're there for the unlimited refills of fountain drink.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. I mean, I feel like I was solidly middle class growing up, and I...
But you knew you were solidly middle class.
I knew. Like, I was aware that I was solidly middle class, yeah. But I didn't get, like, a whole lot of toys. I mean, I got as many toys as I wanted, but, like, I didn't, like, get the Power Wheels and stuff like that necessarily. But I got toys. I don't feel like I wanted a whole lot of toys.
I got shit. I
got a Nintendo. Did you get Nintendos?
Yeah, I got the Nintendo late.
I got it, I think, around the time that probably Mario came out.
I think when it came to high school, when I was like, wait a minute, you're dropping me off in, like, your Lexus. And, like, I don't have... I still get my shoes from Payless.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, the fuck is this?
That's See, we never drove like, nice cars or anything like that, so it never really stood out to me that we... Like, I always thought we were middle class, and that's kind of how we went out to dinner. My parents' thing was we went out to dinner every night, pretty much. Almost every night. Yeah, and that's just because... My mom or dad didn't want to cook, so we went out every night. And that's just the way it was. I never really thought to question that.
Did you get your Power Wheels in Jansport?
No, I'm going to buy myself one of these days.
I mean, you realize
but
it's
still,
not that big of an investment.
Even now, it's so ingrained in me that I feel like it's such a luxury purchase.
Yeah.
I cannot afford it. Even though now the price has gone down to what, $100, $150?
Yeah. But it's stupid.
No, it's not stupid, man. Well, it's fucking awesome. If I had a front yard, I would drive around my front yard in a Power Wheels.
All right, well, there
we
go.
I will say, even though I'm older, and even though my dad has done a ton of amazing things for me monetarily, like helping me with school and whatever, he paid for all my undergrad.
Must be nice. Well, my parents paid for my undergrad, I should
but
say.
But I'm still kind of bitter, like, I mean, fucking real Voltron figures.
See, I'm on the flip side. I'm like, that is brilliant. I'm going to do that shit for my kids. They're not.
I mean, we're there.
Shit.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going to drive around in a BMW, and you're going to have fucking secondhand. I'm going to buy shit for you at the Goodwill store.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tell our kids we're poor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to set expectations.
Yeah. But I guess it's a good thing, because you don't want that spoiled brat kid either.
Yeah,
that's fair. All right, let's get a drink. Thank you. All right. So a couple weeks ago, I was out on the East Coast down in New Jersey, and I was like, you know what? I should go the extra mile and stop by a brewery and check out some of the brews they got there. And I picked this up. What is it, Herschel?
It's by River Horse Brewing. It's a raspberry triple horse Belgian style ale.
Now, that's not all I've got. We've also got a growler of something else for the next segment. But yeah, let's check this out and see what we think of it.
Raspberry, huh?
There is no alcohol level.
All right, yeah, it's good.
It's got no alcohol in it. It's just raspberry. It's raspberry water.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 10%.
10%.
Oh, that's 10%, pretty heavy for a beer. 10%.
Woo!
It's decent. I like it.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
I taste the raspberry, but it's like barely, which is, I think, nice. It's not like a lambic or something like that.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
It's not that sour.
Yeah. So, well, you introduced the beer. Why don't you introduce the segment as well?
Fuck yeah!
Because you don't even know what it is.
I don't know. I need the least amount of preparation for this.
We're on ambition this week.
So the topic is, what pop culture references do you associate with ambition?
Yeah, so this is like pretty much how we start every podcast. We talk about pop culture a little bit. So what, you know, movies, TV shows, books, whatever you want to throw out there, reminds you of ambition? And I'll start off, I mean, with the easy ones. House of Cards. Obviously,
yes,
it's about a person who eventually becomes, spoiler alert, president, basically based on this just overarching ambition for more power. Another one I can throw out there is Nightcrawler. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah,
Jake
the movie
Gyllenhaal.
Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
This is a guy who like wants to basically get into the paparazzi type of angle, basically taking video for nightly news and selling it to like news stations. And it goes so far that like he goes down this really crazy, and the character himself never really like deals with it. It's for the external viewer realizes this guy is going to like crazy extents to almost create the news because his ambition is to get a better and better footage for this nightly news. So I thought that was
going back to House of Cards, would you say the flip side, but on the same spectrum, is Veep?
Sure.
Because she has the same ambition.
Yeah.
She just doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah.
Well, one's a comedy, one's a drama.
Right.
Well, it's funny. Like, does she not know what she's doing, or does her staff just not know what they're doing?
Right?
Because she's not hiring, like, staff that knows what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right. Well, I mean, let's go into reality where we have a president who is basically went from being a pop culture figure to the president.
Sure.
Based on ambition and
they don't seem to know what they're doing either.
Exactly.
I think that's rare. I mean, yeah. It's very true. It's very Veep, except in reality.
Well, I think ambition to a lot of people translates to confidence, and that translates to, how do I put it, competency.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you portray that sort of like overarching confidence and ambition, that tells some people that like, oh, this is the person I should be following.
Sure.
But here's the thing. I mean, because we all know, and we probably all do it, confidence is something that's easily faked.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I do it in my job every day.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, at one point will people understand that confidence is bullshit. Confidence is an image. Confidence is not a sign of competency.
Sure. Never.
Okay, so never.
I think never.
Good to know.
No, but like, if someone's very knowledgeable, but they're, you know, they do a lot of like, well, this is the thing, but here is this caveat, here's this caveat, here's this caveat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it undermines their point of view, right?
Yeah, I think it's the reality of the world that like we, especially on those initial interactions, like we have to signal a lot to people of what we are rather than showing what we are, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to signal things through confidence and things like that rather than showing necessarily competence. Now, whether or not you're hired again by that same client, that might have more to do with competence than confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But in those initial interactions, and I really think probably a lot has to do with confidence even moving forward. Like if someone feels like, oh, I like that person, like they – not just confidence, but also like, you know, personal interaction and like charisma and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I connected with them. They're probably willing to put their money on you more than just you displaying like a win or something like that because of your competence.
I think we should go back to
culture. How did we even get here?
We were talking about Veep and we were talking about Game of House of Cards, and so we started talking about.
All right, I got one. Stringer Bell from The Wire.
I never saw The Wire.
You saw The Wire?
Hirsch,
you're banned from the podcast.
Yeah, you gotta go watch
The Wire. The greatest show ever.
No, you gotta get through the first season.
I got through the first six episodes like 3 or 4 times.
How many episodes were season 10?
Yeah, I want to say like 12 or 10
to 12. So you're banned for 48 hours.
I mean,
48 hours, Hirsch, get the fuck out of here.
Let's just talk about Stranger Things. Everyone likes Stranger Things.
No, where's the ambition in Stranger
not an
Things?
Ambition talk.
They were ambitious to find the missing kids?
The Gorgomon or whatever.
Gorgomon was
the Gilgamesh or whatever the fuck it was.
The Gorgon.
The Gargamel.
All right, how about Legend of Zelda? Did you play Legend of Zelda?
I played Ocarina of Time.
That's all about Ganondorf being ambitious for the Triforce, right?
Well, even like Game of Thrones.
All about ambition. Yeah, that's fair.
I got one. And this is flipped in a little bit different way.
Will George R. R. Martin?
No. Shut up. Jay-Z and Beyonce. That's a different type of ambition. Because everyone...
Sure. They're a power
couple.
In real
life and wants to be them. Like, that's... their ambition as
they want to be part of a
modern couple.
Yeah. So
but
do you?
They hate each other. You can like look in their face.
Do they?
I kind of feel like.
But they hate love each other.
I love that. Did you see that the elevator video where like Solange beat the shit out of him?
Yeah.
Where he starts hitting him because
everybody saw that video.
And Beyonce was just like whatever in the corner.
But I mean, she pays people to take care of that for her.
Yeah.
So
I think at that point it's a mutually beneficial relationship.
Aren't all relationships like that?
I mean, non-abusive ones, sure.
But they're not abusive towards each other.
I don't think they're abusive towards each other.
It's just Solange was abusive, and she's not part of that relationship.
Well, maybe the benefits are, you know, monetary versus, like, emotional.
But it's not just monetary, because they have enough money. So it's got to be something more than monetary. Right?
I mean, do they have enough money? They have a lot of money.
They have a lot of money.
But do they have as much money as, say, you know, whatever random instant Russian, like Russian billionaire or Warren Buffett or...
Yeah, I mean, do you need that much money? How much money do you need in order to be
I don't think it's a matter
happy?
Of how much money do you need. I think there's enough people out there that just want as much of it as possible.
So that's ambition.
I mean, what is it? Like, the 8 richest people in the world have more money than, like, you know, the lower, like, 2 billion people of the world?
Yeah.
Like, how much money do you need isn't really a question anymore. It's money equals power. How much power do you need?
Okay, well, this is a good lead-in for the rest of the episode. What is the point of ambition? I mean... is it just enough to get you just enough to be happy, or is there a never ending aspect to it where you're always pushing to have more money or more whatever? And what is the point of ambition?
Well, I think ambition probably always has a focus, right? So what is, I guess the question is what the focus of your ambition is. Is
right.
it to obtain happiness, or is it to obtain something more?
I mean, I think in general, it's always about happiness. Just happiness means different things to different people.
I mean, do you think that people who are out struggling for ambition for power,
yeah,
who are struggling for power, do you think they're happy once they obtain that power? Or do you think that those are the type of people who can ever be happy?
Well, I mean, this is the idea that the people that succeed in corporate or the business world or whatever are the most, I guess, psychopathic in the sense that they only care about their own themselves.
Yeah.
They care about the power they have over other people.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, there's no empathy going on.
What is the pinnacle of power, I guess?
And so if you say that, then their ambition is just to, like, put them in charge of as many people as possible.
But I would say it's more towards these points. It's more, for them, it's more about money, right? It's they just want to have the most money they can fucking possibly have, flaunt it, show it off.
I don't think it's even about the most money anymore. I just think it's about more money. Like, I think
but
that
more than someone else.
Yeah.
More than
maybe.
Some mythical someone else.
Maybe.
They want to be higher up on the Forbes list.
Maybe. For some people, for sure.
Like in the business world. If you're in the political world, you want to be whatever the top is, whether it's president of the U.S. or, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. I think there are some people who are out there who just think that they always need to be earning. And
right.
that has somehow drilled into their psyche, whether or not they're worried about earning more than the person next door. They're just worried about they always need to be earning.
Sure.
And I think that's been ingrained into our psyche as like not even the nation, like at this point the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you need to be earning something or you have no value.
Right.
It's like a very baby boomer kind of like belief system where it's like you constantly need to be making your position in life better than the person.
And I'm sorry, by earning something, I mean literally you need to be earning dollars. Like earning other things don't matter. Earning experiences with your family doesn't matter in the business world anymore.
No.
Earning, you know, Like, what? What were you going to say?
Well, but here's the thing. With Jay-Z and Beyonce, I think, obviously, the money is important, but I think more important than them is the influence. Like,
yeah.
They're at that point where, yes, they want more money, but more important than that is they want the status of being the most influential people in pop culture.
Sure.
So even if they don't make much more money, or at the rate at which they make money is less than, let's say...
Is that influence, though, or is that just about making more money? Because a lot of things, I feel like you can signal through your actions a lot of things that make you appear to care about. So, like, a politician will hang out with their family in order to appear to be family-oriented and family-values politician. But that's signaling. That's mm-hmm. not really what they're about. They're about winning the next race
right.
and moving on to the next step.
I think...
So do you think Jay-Z and Beyonce are in it for the influence? Are they in it for the money and the... I mean, ultimately, money is about power. So, I guess...
At this point, and it goes back to what you said. At this point, they have enough money where if they had a choice, more money but no more influence, or more influence and no money, they would take the influence.
Yeah, I see that.
I guess I have no ambition for either. I like money in the sense that it allows me to live a comfortable lifestyle. But if you gave me like a certain amount of money right now, I would just stop.
Right. That's why you listen to Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let's save this for the next topic, because we're quickly bumping up about what up against what we're going to be talking
about
soon.
Ed Sheeran. That's the
worst
music
whatsoever. That's the thing.
Worst music. I can't stand his ginger voice.
Wait, why do you think he has no ambition?
Because his songs, they're just other people's songs.
What does that mean?
There's nothing original about them.
Isn't that the essence of ambition, though? Like, you are
like a male Taylor Swift. Like, his songs are just like other people's stories told.
You have no originality, and you're just taking what other people have put out and repackaging it in order to make the money. And that's all about ambition,
yeah,
right?
No, yes, that's ambition in that aspect.
Yeah,
but it's not ambition
in a creative aspect.
Right.
Yeah, so you're saying he's not an artist.
Sure. I mean, he's an artist.
I don't know. I don't listen to enough Ed Sheeran to know.
I don't want to say he's not an artist, but...
Well, he's a ginger.
That's not what drives him.
Let's stop talking shit about him just because he's ginger.
To be clear, whenever you hear the word ginger, it's from Herschel.
Yes.
No, but it's like...
Except for that one time when I said it.
It's like when an elephant paints a picture, are you going to call that elephant an artist? No, Ed Sheeran's a ginger. Person.
We're not an episode of South Park here, Herschel. We don't need to shit all over gingers just because they have a different skin tone.
I'm sorry. Name your
slightly
ginger
paler.
Friend. Name your one ginger friend.
I have ginger friends.
Name two.
I'm not going to throw out people's real names out here.
I don't
then
care.
I could just throw out any pseudonym I wanted, and you would never know.
They're just like I have this friend.
Wait, isn't there one in our fantasy football league?
Yeah. Anyhow, moving on. Let's get another drink.
Wait, they're not listening, are they?
I hope not.
I think they're one of the few people that actually do listen.
Cheers.
Hirsch called him out.
Yeah, fuck you.
This is my ambition. $1 million dream, why I count this green? This is my ambition. Yeah, I'm back to the money. Motherfuckers have like the heart, they don't even know it. I be getting money, striking every time you see me bowling. Fine from my achievements, never gonna stop till I hit the goal.
All right, so I'm going to be honest.
Welcome to your favorite Ed Sheeran theme song.
Don't start on gingers again, motherfucker. I'm going to be honest. This is another beer from River Horse Brewing Company. When I went out there, I picked up a growler of something. I did not mark down what beer this was, and I cannot remember the name of the beer for the life of me. It's an IPA. I just from smelling it, I get like tropical fruits, like a pineapple.
Fruity. Yeah. I get some pineapple.
Like a passion-y fruit?
I get some passion fruit, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of it, but that's what we got. It's an IPA.
It's pretty good.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It reminds me of that pineapple sculpin we had.
Yeah.
I agree.
All I know is I enjoyed it when I was there, so I got a growler.
Look at you enjoying an IPA on your own.
And that's why I posted on our Facebook page that I hate Herschel because he actually made me appreciate IPAs.
IPAs are great.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck you and fix your microphone. But fuck you because IPAs are horrible. At least that's what I thought as of a month ago. And now I can actually drink them.
At what point did IPA hurt you?
You know, I'm not going to point at any dolls or anything, but I just they tasted really hop forward and really bad. And now I guess I can appreciate the hoppiness.
Yeah, you should.
Something happened. But let's move on.
Your taste buds change.
Yeah, that's
fair. You enjoy IPA. You don't enjoy ketchup anymore.
I wouldn't say that I'm at the point where like I enjoy an IPA over any other beer, but I can appreciate an IPA now. Yeah. And I guess I appreciate you for bringing me to that level.
No, you appreciate me because I'm a great friend.
No, you're fucked up.
I am an emotional confidant. Fucking Mike.
All right, Jansport, what's our topic?
All right, so is there a point when being ambitious is a negative? It's a bad thing? And if so, for you guys, what point is that?
I mean, given our last discussion, clearly there's a point. We can, I think, dispense with that at this point. Mm-hmm. So what is that point? What's the dividing line? What do you think?
Of ambition versus like...
Ambition as a good thing versus ambition as a bad thing.
Yeah, so... Okay. All right. So I think we, in our last pretty much entire segment, we went over the whole ambition as evil trope, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much everything we pointed out were points of like negative ambition and people who went over the top. I didn't even get a chance to point out my like positive ambition, pop cultural reference. Rocky is a guy who's like, he wants to win, but he doesn't set aside like the whole, like the boring part of the Rocky plot is his courting of Adrian, right? But that's the part that makes him not a monster, right? It's the part that like makes him a relatable person who actually goes out. What? And even though he has this like professional ambition, he also has like he mitigates that with like a, you know, a personal ambition.
Well, that's the interesting thing about the Rocky movies, though, is he really ambitious professionally? I mean, obviously, when he's given the chance, he wants to win, but that's not what he has his sights on from the very beginning. That's just something that comes up and he kind of takes it on.
I think it's something he has his sights on. He wants to win, especially in the beginning.
I think he wants to win in the sense that he just wants to win in a fight, period.
Right.
Like, he just likes fighting and he wants
to win. But if the championship was never offered to him, he was never thinking, I want to be the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah. But barring things like his best friend being killed in a boxing match, he's willing to step away from like the fighting when he realizes it's in the way of him like, you know, living a normal life.
You can't jump to Rocky IV or Rocky I, right?
It's my favorite
and
Rocky
even
movie.
Still, like you could say like his lack of personal ambition what led him to keep having to fight. Because he lost all his money. He trusted the wrong people. You know, fucking Polly ruined it for him.
Polly didn't ruin anything. Was Polly the person
Polly
who created the bad investment or whatever?
The brother-in-law.
I don't think. Yeah. I never thought Polly ruined it for him.
Yeah, I think Polly was like an asshole throughout it all.
He played the plot device as to why Rocky still had to fight.
No, he didn't. Yeah. He played the guy who was like always down on Rocky and telling Rocky he should do the other thing, right?
No, Polly was like just the leech.
No, he played the guy from back home who was jealous, and who Rocky still wanted. He wanted to make him happy, but.
I wouldn't characterize Paulie as jealous personally. I would characterize him as down to earth. Like he was what brought Rocky down and like kept his feet on the ground, right?
But he always had a handout.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the human side of him, pulling him back down to earth.
Yeah. But why shouldn't those people have the handout, right? If they're that involved in your life and that they're that close to you and they provide some kind of what the hell was that?
Ghost.
All right, but tying this back to what we're talking about now, at which Rocky movie, in which Rocky movie does ambition become a negative?
Probably 4. I mean, he puts aside...
Right, because he fights for revenge.
Was that...
Fights
yeah,
for revenge.
It goes beyond ambition, right?
That was
it goes to revenge.
That was vengeance.
Yeah. But that's because ambition turns from this thing about, I don't know, a self-satisfying goal or a positive goal to a negative goal.
Yeah.
I would say Rocky 3 when he fights Clubber Lang. All
right, okay. When he fights Clubber Lang first time or second time?
So Rocky 3 when he fights Clubber Lang, that's the first time, isn't it?
I mean, he fights him twice, right?
No, but it was both times in
Rocky
3.
Right, but he fights him twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So Rocky 3, he fights Clubber Lang the first time.
And loses.
Because
spoiler alert.
Mickey was trying to control his ambition.
Well, Mickey also died during the fight.
Yeah.
So that was a big downer.
But
it's
the first fight when ambition becomes a negative.
Yeah.
Really?
He was trying so hard to be...
But there were no negative drawbacks at that point to him. Like the whole like shaking and like potential like whatever he had going on in 4 where he was potentially dealing with like some kind of palsy or some kind of a traumatic brain issue didn't come up until the beginning of 4, right?
Mm.
Which oddly they never explored after that.
What, CTE?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to explore that in a Rocky movie.
They did. He was shaking. His hands were shaking at the beginning of maybe it was at the end of 4, beginning of 5.
I think at that point, there was still enough money into like putting CTE down that they were going to bring it up.
I don't think CTE even existed at that point.
Yeah. We still had this romanticized ideal about like whatever this was, right?
Yeah.
We didn't realize how bad it was and how pervasive it was and how easy it was to
But yeah,
people.
So at the end of 4, I don't remember if it happened at the end of 4 or the beginning of 5, he's shaking, right? Because of the knockdown dragout fight he had with Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
And he basically retired in 5. And then he had to get in a fight again
with no gloves, which doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, I think that's the point at which ambition over... It wasn't even ambition. It was just like pure pride, right?
Can you imagine seeing a fight between two professional heavyweight fighters with no gloves? Like, it would last half a second and it'd just be disgusting.
Yeah, but so 5, he was like way over ambitious. So at what point does ambition kind of turn to this negative for him?
I don't think it ever turned to a negative.
But I think
he was a very grounded guy.
But in 5, you know,
I think in 4 and 5 it wasn't ambition; it was revenge.
But at some point, ambition becomes
it was pride.
Something negative.
Yeah,
whether it's revenge or pride or something.
Yeah,
I mean it's still on that same
because
spectrum.
Like if you look at 5, maybe not so much in 4. There was no upside to him taking on a fight with Tommy Gunn in the middle of the street, right? There was no, like, I'm going to be the heavyweight champion of the world if I beat this guy in a street fight.
Revenge.
It was pure revenge. It was pure pride. Right.
But so was Rocky IV. That was pure revenge.
No, it was revenge, definitely. But in Rocky IV, at least there was the
America,
aspect of it. It was like America versus the USSR, right?
Rocky III was not revenge, but like redemption.
It was him working his way back up to the top. And
he didn't
ignore Adrian because he was going after Clubber Lang in Rocky III.
Right. I think Rocky II was pure ambition.
Yeah.
To me, positive ambition.
Yeah.
I think Rocky III is when ambition changes to something a little darker, a little more negative.
So you think his relationship with his family and Adrian is strained in Rocky III?
I mean, I don't think that's necessarily part of it. It's just his motivation
is not,
and what is possessing him to do these things becomes darker.
It changes from being
self-fulfilling
or
and positive and advancing his and his family's interests
to being the best,
to being not even necessarily the best, but something darker.
Okay.
Whether it's revenge or punishment.
So
or
what
guilt.
Is that point?
I would say the ultimate ambition Rocky movie was Creed, where he was trying to be better than his dad. Like
yeah.
he was.
I don't think he was ever trying to be better than his dad in Creed.
I think he'd just be separate.
I think he was just trying to be a separate person from his dad and prove that he was still good. Like
well,
he was
I would
still
agree that for the Rocky character, the purest ambition movie is Creed, because for him, he has nothing to gain, but he wants for the purest form of success. That's what he's working for.
All right, like pure negative ambition.
I thought he was doing it as like this is how I can still be close to essentially his best friend. Because it wasn't Polly, it wasn't Mickey. At the end of the day, it was Creed, Apollo Creed, who was like, in the most pure sense,
mm-hmm.
I am, like, I'm treating you as an equal, I'm
right.
treating you as a friend.
Right.
He was the person that...
I'm not taking advantage of you, I just, like, if we fight, it's because I just think I'm better.
He was the person that Rocky could meet on the field of battle and, like, be, like, equals
exactly.
with, right?
Yeah.
And the person that could really understand Rocky.
I never wanted anything from him other than just to, like...
Than just to prove who was good. And maybe one day one of them was good and the other day another one was good. And that kind of was the point of like the like in Creed they even said that like Rocky, you know, that iconic thing at the end of Rocky II where they like they have the little sparring contest and they both punch each other at the same time and it ends on that. I think Rocky says that Creed won that fight, right?
Right.
So yeah, it's kind of interesting.
All right, but
we have gone way off.
We're still on topic, but all right, here's the question. Rocky Balboa.
That's what I was going to say.
Ambition, is it positive?
I think that's negative ambition.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's him.
Vanity. It's vanity.
It's vanity.
Vanity.
It's him wanting to still. I loved the movie. I loved it, but it was him trying to prove that he still had it. And at that point, like, was Polly still around? I think Polly was dead by that time. Adrian was definitely dead, right?
Adrian was dead, yeah.
I think the only one that was still around was Creed's trainer, the guy.
And Rocky's kid was there.
And Rocky's kid, yeah.
He was a joy suck in that movie.
Yeah, but I mean...
Because he was like an investment banker.
Yeah, but every time he was on the camera, you're like, fuck this kid.
Yeah, because that was his point. Like, his point was to be the be the new Polly. Like, he was there to bring Rocky's feet back down the ground and, like, get him to, like, think about his actions.
And he completely forgot the kind of dick he was in Rocky V.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it did go to Negative Ambition.
I think if we forgot about Rocky Balboa, it'd be a better series of movies.
Why? I think it was a good movie.
I don't think it was a good movie at all.
I think if any Rocky movie was the weakest, it was Rocky V.
Because even in Creed, they didn't even address anything that happened in Rocky Balboa. They just wrote that movie out of existence.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little implausible that he came back out of nowhere at 60 years old or whatever he was supposed to be at that time. But I give it to them at least that he didn't win the fight. He just stayed up. Like, that was him winning the fight. He didn't get knocked out, right? I think that's fair. But what was our fucking topic?
When does ambition become a bad thing?
So I think what we're distilling here is that ambition becomes a bad thing when it goes beyond just, like...
It's about the motivation.
It's about the motivation of your ambition. If the motivation of your ambition is something like happiness or something about balance, then your ambition, you can probably keep it in line.
Or even if it's just your drive to succeed.
Yeah.
That's a good thing that pushes you, and we all understand that.
Yeah.
But if there's something else behind it...
Yeah, if it's about pride, mm-hmm. if it's about proving you're better than everyone else, right. then typically those are when ambition becomes dark.
I think ambition without empathy is when you don't have empathy for, like, other human beings, then you definitely...
How does that work in a boxing match?
In a boxing match?
Yeah.
Clever Lang. He had no empathy, or even Drago, he had no empathy for the people he was fighting. He really just wanted to win at murder, at the cost of murder.
Yep. But Rocky didn't throw a towel.
Of course not.
So you keep, I mean, you're supposed to keep fighting until the bell rings or someone is knocked out, right? And Creed was still on his feet.
Yeah.
So was Drago supposed to stop hitting him?
That's a good question. I don't remember the movie well enough. But I kind of feel like there was supposed
to be. All right, well.
All right, so.
We're going to watch Rocky 48
4. Hours to watch The Wire, and then you have 2 hours to watch Rocky 4, and then you'll come back in 50 hours.
Once we hit a certain Patreon goal, we will all watch Rocky 4 together and give our commentary on it.
Live stream watching the Rocky 4.
Yeah. It is the best Rocky movie, I think, because it's basically a music video. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go out there right now and say that Rocky 4 is the best Rocky movie.
Few people know that Rocky 4 actually ended the Cold War.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. That's obviously a benefit.
Mm-hmm. You need to rename the theme of this segment.
Whatever. No, this is what it is.
We're pretty on point. Even though we're completely talking about Rocky movies, we're pretty on point.
Yeah, well, let's get another drink and then see how on point we are on the next segment.
All right, to Rocky.
To Rocky. Cheers.
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 Alright, Jansport, what are we drinking?
Alright, so this is from Barrel House Brewing Company, and because Steve has completely bought into the Hirsch train, it's a mango IPA.
Let me explain this to you.
Apparently, Steve only drinks IPAs now.
Is Steve an IPA fan now?
No. But, so I was on two trips recently. One was to New Jersey, one was to Sacramento, or not to Sacramento, one was to mid-coast, coastal California, Cambria specifically.
Central Coast.
Yeah, Central Coast. I was like, hey, I'm in Cambria for a couple days. Why don't I check out the nearby breweries?
Hey, I was in Cambria.
Hey, everyone around
here.
Hey, Maggie, I'm in Cambria.
Why don't I check out the breweries? So we went over to fucking kicking the microphones over and over again.
I'm in Cambria.
Hey.
So hey, I'm in Cambria. Why don't I go over the hill and check out some of the breweries in Paso Robles? First one we stopped at was Barrel House. Second one we stopped at, I'm skipping the second one, didn't have any bottles or any growlers or anything that they could give us.
They had no IPAs for you, and you're like, I'm a hophead now.
They had nothing. So luckily, I picked up the best two drinks I had at Barrel House, which just happened to be IPAs. Trust me, I didn't want them to be IPAs. I tried, if you look at my tasting card, I had like 5 different tastings, and every single one except for one was an IPA, and they all sucked. I want to be honest. I liked the Barrel House, both of their, all of their IPAs I enjoyed. I tried a different IPA afterwards, which was this mango IPA. I enjoyed their IPAs that I tasted. Everything that wasn't IPA tasted not good to me.
I don't know why you have such like a diversion towards IPAs when you love like peaty, smoky scotch.
It's weird. It's weird.
I like the IPAs of the scotch world.
You know why? I don't like things that taste kind of...
grassy?
Yeah, grassy.
Herby?
Herby. Anything like that. I don't like herby, like the liqueurs.
Fully loaded.
What's that liqueur that you like that's like kind of herbal-y?
Oh, Fernet.
I don't like Fernet.
Oh, gross. Yeah, that was terrible.
I don't like to take it to like vegetables. I don't like cilantro or like bell pepper because they're a little too much.
You're Mexican, aren't you?
I'm partially Mexican. Yeah.
You don't like cilantro?
I don't care for cilantro.
Oh my gosh.
Or for bell pepper.
Or avocado dip.
I like avocado dip just fine. But anyway, our topic this round is: are you ambitious, or are you? More specifically, are you as ambitious as you were when you were younger?
Well, let's introduce the beer. Right?
Are you still?
Oh, yeah. We never introduced
it. I introduced the beer already, so yeah. let's cheers and taste it.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's the mango IPA.
First goddamn thing we did.
Cheers.
I think it's tasty.
That's pretty good. That's
it's
pretty
a good. It's a good IPA, I think.
All right.
It's not too hop forward.
It's actually more on like the sweeter, candier side of mango. Like, not like it's not like super fruit forward, but it's more like a candy version.
Sure. I like it.
Yeah,
that's why I got a bottle of it. So, are you as ambitious as you were as a child, Herschel?
No. I think when I was a child, I had like all these dreams of like I'm going to be a politician. Or I'm
really?
Yeah, that was my
a politician.
That was my like in high school. I was like,
what were your policy preferences?
My policy preferences were just sort of like,
did they not have 9/11 in high school?
were you conservative, right?
I was more conservative.
So you wanted to like steal money for poor people?
No, I think you're talking about the definition of conservatism was different when we were younger.
What was the definition of conservatism?
It was being more fiscally responsible, being harder on trade, being harder on crime, and being more. It wasn't like I am against social welfare programs.
Wait, when we were younger, conservatives were harder on trade.
Yeah,
they didn't want free trade.
Conservatives didn't want
trade? International trade. I'm sorry, international trade.
Meaning they didn't want
they didn't want international trade?
No, they wanted more protections for American.
That's what conservatives wanted?
I feel like that's stereotypically liberal in terms of like the Democrats having the support of the labor unions
right,
and stuff.
Right.
In any case,
I guess conservatives had some like dissatisfaction with or expressed some dissatisfaction with NAFTA because the Clintons were behind it.
I think it was also because it was necessarily a good deal.
Clinton was the president at the time, at least.
Yeah. Easier to import goods without sort of any protection on export goods.
Okay. Sure. Anyhow, Jansport, what was your ambition when you were younger?
I don't know about ambition, but I will say this to Herschel's point. My idea of ambition has changed. Definitely when I was younger, The possibilities were so endless where you could dream really big. You could dream about being a senator or a president or a Supreme Court justice or whatever. And now that we've been around long enough, we realize ambition is more like, I want to win my next case or I want to save a little money or I want to be advance one tax bracket up. You know, we're much more measured with our ambition.
I think I'm happier with the status quo than I was before. Like, I'm okay. Like, if I
can, well, that just sounds like you're a sellout.
But I'm just saying, if you could be happy, if you're happier, like, just on the weekends, I get to hang out in my home or maybe go on a hike or something simple like that. I don't need to be able to, like, travel internationally all the time. I don't need to, like, have a fancy yacht or a car or something like that. Like, I'm happier in the fact that, like, I'm above average or average as opposed to like super above average.
But at what point is that just complacency and in the same vein, that's just the system fucking you?
Yeah.
Because why
is it fair?
Why are some of these billionaires out there, why do they get to have the life you just spoke about?
Exactly.
Are they really that much better than
you? Like, I don't think they're better than me, but I think I don't even think for some of them, I think it is the sense that
some of them are clearly better than you. I mean, Warren Buffett, you know.
I don't know if he's better.
He's better.
He's not better.
He's better.
He just, he
than you.
He has hard deals right now.
Now, but he started out somewhere where he didn't necessarily have sweetheart deals.
Well, I mean, I think most people that are billionaires now probably have some sort of family money or influence going on.
Exactly. So, like, this is, like, I've always railed against royalty, against, like, the Queen of England, and I like, hated that, the Netflix series, The Queen.
Do you believe in a death tax?
Yes.
Now, is that because you're a communist?
Yes. No, it's because I believe that people should be able to enjoy the whatever comfort the things that they've earned have brought.
Right, the and spoils of their own
production.
They're
spoils of their own production. And I believe that to a certain extent, they should be able to pass that on to their children. But I believe after a certain extent, being able to just pass on money and endless wealth to children, you hit a point at which there's no marginal benefit to it.
Right.
And it just becomes, you're just passing on.
It's regressive. It hurts
billions
society.
Of dollars. And those, it not only hurts society, but it hurts those people.
Yeah.
They become people who just have no purpose in life because they don't need to earn anything on their own.
What would you do with the money from the death tax?
I mean, I would offset it against income tax so that people would have to pay less income tax. Okay. And they would pay more death tax. But the problem, so there's tax, like when we get into like tax, it's a very difficult issue because there are a whole lot of conflicting purposes of tax. So obviously you want a tax that is very, because a budget has to be based on it. We have to make enough money through taxes to provide for government services and pay for government services. We want a tax that is very predictable. And it's hard to predict who's going to die in what year. So to that extent, a death tax is more unpredictable than an income tax.
What if we established a universal maximum for how we get?
Would I be in favor
of a Logan's Run?
Yes. I'm going to go out right now and put myself in favor of Logan's Run. No.
Platform is
I have an interesting story about Logan's Run, which the more I think about it after I said interesting is not really interesting.
But a story when I killed an old person.
No, I was actually at the UCLA book fair one year, and I was at walking around.
Way to brag about being able to read.
Thank you. I appreciate my ability to read. But I was walking around and I happened upon like this like little bookshop it was a tent. At the book fair, and I walked in and I saw this guy had like copies of Logan's Run. I was like, "Hey, that's the only book here that I recognize." So I was like, "All right, I'll just buy it." I guess this guy wrote a book that became a movie, so I'll buy it and ask him to sign it, as you do. And he signed it. And as he's signing it, Michael York, who was the star of Logan's Run, who was in a couple of other movies, I think, when we were younger kids. So he was recognizable to me, even though I've never actually seen Logan's Run. I was just aware of it as a thing. Walks up, and I'm like, oh. And he starts talking to the guy who's like the author. I was like, would you mind signing this as well? And that was my celebrity story. Like I said, it wasn't that interesting.
That's so
cool. You should
have
told us that 10 minutes ago.
Moving on.
No, it's pretty cool that you have a book now signed by the.
So I think I lost the book.
All right, fuck you.
Moving on. Ambition.
Edit point.
Moving on.
No, I think I still have the book. It's somewhere.
So now we know Steve's ambition is to own books that he then loses.
That are signed by both the author of the book and the star of the movie. But,
cool.
What?
Cool.
Yeah.
Good job.
I think I was ambitious as a kid. I think I, like, thinking back on it, I worked a lot harder as a kid than I do now.
At what, though?
At trying to be the best in my class.
And what do you think was motivating you to do that?
I think approval of I don't know who specifically, but I wanted to have the best grades. I remember either second or third grade, there was like a star system where like if you did something bad, you didn't get a star for the day. But if you did something good, if you were good, you got a star. I wanted to have a star every day. Right? That was me. To the extent that one point I pushed somebody off the jungle gym. Or it wasn't the jungle gym. It was like a, like one of those little spinny bars. But I pushed him. And he was like, I'm going to tell on you. And it wasn't just me. It was another person who was also very competitive and also wanted to have all the stars. We both like did it. And he's like, I'm going to tell on you guys and tell that you like pushed me off this thing and you're not going to get a star today. And we're like, wait, we'll give you $5 tomorrow if you don't tell on us. And so then we went home to like, we went home and told our parents like, oh, we borrowed $5 from a friend. Can I have $5? Like, this was like, my parents was like, why did you borrow $5 from a friend? It became very convoluted.
Right.
But I got the $5 and I paid him. Wait, and luckily
did you each get $5?
Yeah. So this kid got $10.
Oh, he got $10.
Except that he was a pretty good friend of mine. So he gave me my $5 back after this other person walked away. So I wasn't expecting to get the $5 back.
You were picking on your good friend?
It was like playful to me. It wasn't like, I wasn't like trying to hurt him. I was pushing him.
You're
like
being a bully.
No, I don't think there are definitely times in my life where I can look back and I was like, that was kind of bullyish behavior, but I don't think I was a bully.
When was the last time you were a bully?
Have you ever been a bully?
No.
Never. Neither of you have ever been a bully?
I ever described, like, singular instance, I would just describe as me being a dick. I would never say I was a bully.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was being a dick.
Okay.
Well, that's right.
Then I would accept that.
Like
you were never a bully. You were just being a dick.
Yeah.
Singular moments in your life, you're being a dick to people.
No, it was usually with friends, and it was in like a moment where like I could finally exert a little bit of strength, and I was like, you know what? I don't care enough in this moment to not exert my strength,
right.
So I might as well make my life easier by exerting my
and
strength.
And she said yes, and now you're married with two kids.
yeah, pretty much.
That was cold. Jansport was being a bully just now.
That was just a moment of dickishness.
All right. So what's a moment? Were we even on? What was your ambition as a youth, Jansport?
As a youth? You know, I had these big dreams that I would be president or that
really?
I would be this famous inventor. I'd be a billionaire, I guess a millionaire back then, or I'd be an astronaut or some shit like that. And now I'm just, you know, upper middle class cog in the wheel, and that's okay, I guess.
What's your realistic ambition now?
What's my realistic ambition? It's to make a little bit more money, to have a nice family, and to perpetuate this fucked up society that we have, really, to be honest. You know?
Should we have the ambition to fix this fucked up society that we have? Is there something wrong with us that we don't want to do more?
Well, that's the thing about our society. It just engenders this idea that
it's good enough.
Of complacency.
Yeah.
It's good enough and we should just fit in and let it keep working.
Because I complain about this shit a lot, but I don't do a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do a whole lot to fix it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to take the risk
and
put myself out there and lose it all.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's the risk? Like, reposting something you see on Facebook or...
No, really.
Well, that's the thing.
The
risk has become so easy nowadays. It is reposting shit that you see on Facebook maybe somebody won't like this.
But the real risk is give up your job, start fucking picketing or run for office or devote your life to a candidate you really believe in, make no money, lose all your savings, and see how it turns out, right? That's the real risk.
The real risk is actually putting your money where your mouth is.
Right, right. And are you willing to do that? Not me.
No.
My retirement fund? No, that's for my retirement.
All right. I'm announcing today. I am running for office.
And you're on your own. You're on your fucking own, man.
No, I'm not.
Steve's going to run on the anti-ginger platform.
No, that's all Herschel. I love gingers. I would...
Remember my
campaign manager is a ginger. I never said that. And that's the problem. Like we live in an era where, like, even if I wanted to run for something, I feel like something could be pulled from everything I've said in the past so out of context that, like, it would ruin my life.
It's not that. Like, I was looking into, like, running for the city council of my small town that I live in. And
you shouldn't.
No, but there's millions of dollars that go into those little campaigns. Like, the average campaign amount for my small city council is $2-3 million.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably in like a Tony neighborhood where there's some serious money for.
I guess, yeah, you're down in San Diego. Yeah.
But maybe some of the small places, but like even like the moderate sized place in San Diego, it's like a million something.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
It's easily that because there are enough like special interests that will put money into it.
Yeah.
So I understand why like people that eventually get to where they are, they have to like give up on certain things.
Yeah. So do you have any ambition now? What's your ambition nowadays?
My ambition is to like
get off Tinder,
make a little bit more money, buy a house,
delete an app,
delete apps,
delete the apps because you found somebody who's your Tinder for life.
Yeah, Tinder for life, man.
All right,
hashtag Tinder for life.
All right, Steve, what's your ambition now?
I think it's just to be happy, you know.
Shut the fuck up. Wait,
so it really is. I'm
happy now, even though you have like.
No, I am happy. I am happy now. I think it's just to maintain that happiness. Like, you know, there are things that happen every day that, like, if you let these little, like, slights or little like, things, like, you want to keep up with the Joneses, you see somebody post on Facebook that, oh, we're at this, like, new restaurant or whatever that's really expensive. And, like, you think about, well, I can't afford to go to that restaurant right now. Like, maybe I need to make more money. So maybe what I need to do is, like, spend less time with my family in order to, like, make that extra dollar to go to the restaurant. Like, I don't...
So you have no ambition.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
You have no ambition to make money or more money.
No, I just want to maintain. I want to stay where I am. I'm happy. And I want to keep it that way.
And so your ambition is complacency.
Yeah. And I think I'm happy with that.
Your ambition is to be a kept man.
Yeah. I mean, in the long term, I'm probably going to get a job because I can't be a stay-at-home dad forever. especially since I don't plan to have any more children. But, you know, I want to keep it going. Like, I think we're in a good spot. Yeah. And I don't see why we need to fuck around with things.
And if people start donating to our Patreon page, Steve will never have to do any of that.
I doubt that.
Remember, the Adults Podcast.
So head over to
Adults. The well-being and happiness of Steve
head over to
is
Patreon.com.
Highly dependent on this.
Yeah. If you'd like Steve to never get a real job, please donate.
Yeah. No, that's fake. Let's get a new drink. Cheers.
Cheers.
Approach and identify.
All right, so this round we've got another Barrel House IPA. It is the Barrel House Brewing Company Big Sur Double IPA. I also picked this up when I was up there. Like I said, I'm not into IPAs, or at least I didn't used to be. But these were the two best beers that I had.
Yeah, I'm not into IPAs, but here are four IPAs for you guys to drink.
Yeah.
No, I think this is one of the best IPAs out there. It's 9.6%, so it's a fucking heavy one. But it is tasty.
It's definitely hops forward.
It's pretty good. It's good.
But it's good. Yeah. It's balanced. It's I like it.
It's got a little bit of that Belgian flavor to it, the sweet end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Very nice.
All right. So this round, the drunken hypothetical is, if you were president of the United States or dictator of some country, whatever, what have you, if you were in charge of an entire country, what kind of ambitious or more self-centered policy would you try to push through just to benefit yourself?
And I would guarantee that this policy would pass. This is like policy that you can get through in your term.
No, what would you risk it on? What's the thing you would risk it on?
Oh, so we have to risk
it. Yeah, because this is about ambition. You gotta be willing to push for this.
I mean, I'll just put that there. A no ginger birth policy.
Fucker. I mean, is this podcast, is this episode's theme about ambition, or is it about gingers? Because I feel like there's a subtext here.
The gingers. And this is just me because I have my own foibles. I would say no one could ever chew gum again.
So you wanted to go for the Singapore route.
Yeah. I love the Singapore, like, if you spit in public, you get caned.
Why? Why do you feel that way?
Because,
are you serious, or are you making a joke?
I'm serious. I think it,
no one could chew gum again. Why? Why do you hate
in
gum?
In public
much?
Or at all?
Like in front of, like around me.
Around you? So you have like a 20-foot halo?
You couldn't like spit gum on the street or anything like that.
Okay.
Because there's like the common good, right? The tragedy of the commons. Like,
all right.
Like you have this public area.
Sure.
People just take advantage of it, being considerate and polite.
But gum bothers you more than cigarette butts or dog poop?
I think all of it.
All of it.
Put it all in there.
Is it omnibus? Omnibus legislation.
Cigarette butts, littering, dog poop, gum, spitting.
So what are people allowed to do in common areas now under your administration?
Walk like a normal person.
Are they allowed to walk on the grass?
Yeah. Unless
it was, are they allowed to picnic?
Unless there's a sign that says don't
picnic. Are they allowed to picnic?
If there's a sign that says picnicking's okay.
All right, but picnicking, you throw a blanket down on the ground. You sit down on it. You might kill the grass. You're okay with the grass being dead?
If it's an allowable area, sure.
You just
and
don't like things being on the ground.
You're taking up a space that people
if
can't
litter in. You have the picnic and you just leave that shit there? That's bad.
What about deers pooping on the ground? What do you think about that?
Well, that's not a mess. That's nature.
Okay.
And that'd be a designated okay area.
Okay, so as long as deers stay within their designated okay area, what if a deer is walking through a park and takes a crap?
That's okay.
How many deers would you sentence to death?
You can't sentence a deer to death.
What do you think about bird poop? Because that's everywhere. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. So
that's okay.
It's natural.
It's literally just humans being letting stuff
hit
around.
If you should know better and you do it anyways, that's punishable.
But so there's
dogs don't know better.
That's what I'm saying. If you know better and you do it anyways, that's punishable.
Yeah, but the owner should know better is what he's saying. So
what about the owner of a bird? What if someone takes their parrot for a walk?
Who takes a parrot for a walk?
I've seen people do that.
I think you take your parrot for
I've
a
seen
fly.
People do that with a parrot on their shoulder. They've gone for walks.
And they should clean up after the parrot. If the parrot's pooping, they should clean up after their
so
parrot.
They got, okay, so that bird poop, they have to clean up.
Yeah. All right, so to use a law school term, there's a mens rea requirement, which means a mental state.
Yes.
So a person has to designate a negligence in order to qualify.
Or a malicious thought or malicious belief.
Yeah, well, negligence is like the lowest, which is that they just weren't paying attention to their pet, and their pet crapped all over the place, and they didn't clean it up.
Exactly.
Like, they should have been paying attention to their pet. Okay. Yeah. I think I can get behind that.
Punishable by death.
Okay, you lost me. Now you lost me.
Right, which Middle Eastern country is this that you're taking over?
No, this is why. Like, I like the idea that Steve was kind of on my side, and then like, and then murder. And you're like, no, can't abort
this. You lost me. All right, Jansport, what do you got?
All right, so if I were president, I would legalize marijuana federally right away. That's my big thing.
All right, why?
One, it's... makes no fucking sense that marijuana is treated as a Schedule I drug to me. I don't understand how marijuana is worse than alcohol. How it's treated worse than alcohol and how people have to go to jail because of marijuana when they can be drunk in public and just be slapped with an infraction.
I mean, I think I'm there, but how far do you go? What do you think about stronger drugs?
What other drug would you legalize?
What do you think about, like, mushrooms?
I mean,
things like that.
That's a good question, but that is not germane to this hypothetical.
Because you narrowed it on the socially acceptable drug currently.
Like, would you say, like alcohol, don't smoke and then drive, or operate heavy machinery?
No, obviously, I'm not saying marijuana should not be regulated. All right, so to the first question you guys posed, I do think drugs, in a general sense, should be regulated more than it should be outlawed. Recreational drugs should be. Because I think the war on drugs has failed. I think it's been the wrong approach. I think it's criminalized an entire society, entire class of our society, and it's basically ruined their chances of becoming productive citizens. Not to say that drugs are good for us, but it's almost inevitable that people are going to use drugs, and we should find a more effective way to address that.
Do you think the taboo nature of drugs sort of affects it worse than if it was accepted?
I think yes, and I also think it's arbitrary, because if you get a prescription, it's not taboo, but it doesn't make any sense to me that that's not taboo.
Yeah.
Because you could still get a legitimate prescription and abuse it and be the same type of person who's out there on the streets trying to get cocaine.
So why should you need a prescription for any drug?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying we should find a way, or we should think about this problem in a way where we don't see it as it needs to be outright illegal. That we find a way to regulate it instead.
Regulate the effects of it. So people shouldn't be allowed to drive when they're on medication.
Right. Regulate the use of it.
Yeah.
So there are certain times when they can and cannot use it. And then find a way to treat it so that, or find a way to educate the public about what is safe use and what is use that will turn into addiction.
And to treat addiction.
Right.
Yeah.
And we should treat addiction as well.
Sure.
Course.
I can get behind that as well. I mean, I think that people should be able to put into their own bodies things that they believe that they should put into their own bodies. And if I want to take a certain medication that I, you know, won't make me sleep at night and it allows me to like stay up all night, I shouldn't necessarily need a doctor's prescription to go and do that, right?
That sounds terrible. Any, like, I just want to stay up. Sleeping is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, but I didn't think of what you could do if you didn't sleep so much.
You should just be like, I want to take medication.
Think about all the porn you can watch if you're not asleep while your kids are sleeping.
Two nights ago, yeah, I think you realize this once you become a parent, and you realize, oh my God, I spend all of my hours taking care of the kids, and then I spend the rest of my hours sleeping. I never get anything else done. It hit me probably two nights ago when I was staying up editing one of these podcasts from about 10 p.m. when the kids went to sleep until like 4 a.m. when I was finally done with the podcast. And I was like, I never want to do this again.
It's like a real job. Yeah, shit.
That's stupid. But it was also one of the podcasts that you guys were on. So, of course, I'd had a lot of editing. But anyway, yeah, I think people should
be probably talking about gender.
Probably.
All right, let's see. What would you do?
Yeah.
What would I?
If you were in a position of power, what would you do?
I should have been sitting here thinking of.
What Bernie-esque thing would you put out
there? Yeah, what left-wing bullshit, commie socialist bullshit would you do?
You know what? If I had like dictator-level powers, though, and like I could do anything, I think. And I didn't want to say this because it sounds like you guys were saying, a Bernie Sanders cliche. I think I would take money out of politics. I mean, I really think that that's the starting point of everything that we have.
So even your selfish ideal would be altruistic in some sense.
I don't think that my belief system can be recognized until people are genuinely thinking about what's good for everybody as opposed to what's good for the people who have the money to support political campaigns.
Right, that's how much you believe in your own belief system.
Yeah.
Because you think it is truly the best for everyone.
And I don't think all of my belief system will survive in that kind of system. I hope I don't have that kind of hubris. I understand that I'm wrong about things, clearly wrong about things. But I would hope that in that kind of belief system, in that kind of political system, eventually the best, and it would be a long-term thing. It wouldn't be like every election cycle, like gays would achieve marriage or what have you, like whatever social justice thing would happen. Like there would certainly be regressions because history is a pendulum between, you know, regression and progression, et cetera, et cetera. So like, I don't think every election cycle would be great for me even after that. But I think that in the long term, that would aid the progression of a more progressive agenda. And like, I think eventually, hopefully maybe for my kids, things would be a little bit better. Like, I think, when you have kids, and I don't like, I hate it when parents say that, like, when you have kids, you'll understand this. And I'm not saying that, but I think when you have kids,
from law school are you specifically criticizing for this?
For what?
For making that statement over and over again.
There is a friend of ours who can, and he'll know who he is, who constantly tells us that once you have kids, you'll understand something. I don't think that that's true. I think that everybody can fundamentally understand the things that affect people and have a care for the future. But I think once you have kids, it does sort of underscore those like concerns for the future. And for some people it doesn't, clearly. Some people are only ever going to concern for themselves and their clan. And
or maybe the solution to your policy is just don't have kids.
Yeah, no, should we outlaw children?
Unless you have a license from the government.
Yeah, Brave New World, this shit.
Yeah.
We'll test tube everyone.
Children licenses.
Yeah.
In order to have children, you have to have licenses.
Let's do
Demolition Man.
A little eugenics to this. No, never hurt anyone. Just sprinkle eugenics.
Yeah, we are now a pro-eugenics podcast. No.
That's what the question mark on adults is.
Adults? Eugenics? No, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's such a cop out, though. I feel like I'm trying to like be nice. I feel like
yeah,
I'm trying
fucking
to be,
take
like,
a fucking position.
You want to plant a tree for the future, as opposed to
no. What do I want for myself? I mean, I want. I know what I want. A completely selfish thing that I think would be also good for society.
Sex robots.
All right. a paternal leave.
Okay.
All right, hear me out. Paternal leave. We talk a lot about
leave.
We talk a lot about how there isn't like maternity like leave type programs in the States, and how there is a wage gap because women are expected to take off time when they have children to take care of those children. But men, they're expected to take off that time, and if they do take off the time, it hurts their career, right? Mm-hmm. If they don't take off their time, they're seen as bad mothers, right? Men don't have that same expectation. And because of that, they also don't get kind of the benefits associated with it. So they don't get as much paternal leave for when they have children. They're not when they do get that paternal leave, they're not expected to take it. Like when I was working when my first child was born, and the expectation was that I would take a few weeks like to help out for a couple weeks and then come back, even though I was entitled to 6 weeks. And I feel like men should be pressured to take that full time, because I think for a society, there would be, for me personally, there would be a positive point, because I would get paid for that full time and I wouldn't be looked down upon for taking that full time. And for a society, there'd be a positive point because men and women would both be expected to take that time. They would both be expected to be caregivers for their children. And there would hopefully, it would hopefully, you know, bridge that wage gap that exists, that like that women, because they take off time to take care of their families, earn less, but men continue barreling through and just ignore their families and earn more.
Right, right. But here's the question. How do you change the expectation that men will actually take that time?
That's the cultural thing, and
right,
that's hard.
Right.
That's the hard thing.
Right.
I think you start off with mandating a certain amount of like leave time, like for employers to offer.
So okay,
and then hopefully, and then how the culture changes, that's the harder question. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, unless you're a dictator, there's not much you can do about that, right? So I don't know. Anything else? No other pet policies?
I don't think I can go bigger than like, you know,
not letting people poop in public. Oh, not letting people.
I would mandate that Steve stop writing fucking haikus and give us a fucking limerick like we asked for.
All right.
That's a good one.
Here it comes. All right. You want a limerick? I got a limerick.
Yeah, I want a fucking limerick.
Fuck you guys. Look, there once was this time I had great ambition. I mean, not for cool stuff like nuclear fission. I just wanted to make deals, maybe buy some Hot Wheels, and put a stop to doggy emissions. And also to gum, because I'm a bum. Fuck you, Herschel, you nanny state scum.
Yeah, fuck Herschel.
That is what I call a limerick plus.
Down the hatch.
Fuck
and
Herschel.
Also, it was Power Wheels, fucker.
Whatever. Check us out on Adults Podcast on Facebook, on Twitter, or whatever have you. Snapchat, we're there.
Snapchat.
Hashtag
Herschel sucks.
And then check us out on Patreon if you want. Or don't, whatever. If you don't want to see Herschel's emails, his scathing emails to Uber, then
to Uber, yeah.
Yeah. But we'll see you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mistake. How does the same